cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell the difference. Okay, it's half term, so there's no cars on the road. Okay, Rabbi Sai, as always, our limud of Hilchas Lashon Hara is as a schus refuah for Yosef Dov ben Chai, l'b'soi shal chayli Yisrael, l'shtol hafer refuah shleim b'kor roiv. So we came yesterday, we came up yesterday with a new halacha, which I don't think I've ever come across in the Chofetz Chaim before, but it seemed clear that that's what he means to say. We are in Hilchas Rechilus, we're in Klal Dalet, and we're in Halacha Aleph. And the simple example that the Chofetz Chaim gives himself is that somebody comes out of a Din Torah, and his friend says to him, how did it go? And he says, yeah, I lost, I have to pay. And he's accepted the Din Torah, and he seems to be okay with it. And his friend says to him, I don't know why you're so happy with this Din Torah. Right? These Dayanim are not that good, and they probably didn't take everything into consideration. And I think I'll be Alocha that you're right. I mean, he knew that he was right, but I think I'll be Alocha you're right. The Beis Din got it wrong, that sort of thing. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that is Rechilus, because what you're doing is you're saying things which are going to cause discord. Until now, he wasn't thinking about it. He had it in Torah, he lost, he accepted it, end of story.
There's no chance, there's no practical benefit.
Us?
Is there any practical benefit?
Not really. I mean,
occasionally,
it's very rare. In Halacha, I don't think that appeals really exist, but the Beis Din does consider sometimes maybe appeals. I don't know. You'd have to check with the Dayan, but it's not standard. It's not standard that you go to appeal. There isn't another. It's not like if the local Beis Din gets it wrong, then you can appeal to the 23, and from the 23, you can appeal to the 71. I don't think it works like that. I must tell you, because we're mentioning it, I always consider, mind you, our speaker's here.
You can go to another Beis Din.
Boss?
You can go to High Court.
No, one second. In English law, right, the Psak Din is, you sign an arbitration agreement. Sign an arbitration agreement, yeah. And that's enforceable in the county court.
Yes.
Right, and you can appeal to the court with the permission of the Beis Din.
But
you need the permission of the Beis Din. But that's an English system because of the arbitration laws.
Yeah.
But in Shulchan Aruch, I don't think I'm not sure. Maybe Rav Gedalia knows. But somebody who has a Psak Din in front of three Dayanim, is there a system of appeal in Halacha that you can say I'll go to another Beis Din or I'll go to a bigger Beis Din and they'll hear my case again? I don't know whether there is such a thing.
In Chai Sish. There's a big discussion, especially in Eretz Yisrael, because they're the Beis Din Rabbani has such a system.
But that's because they're importing the system from the English. Anyway, so that's something to consider. But I'll call upon him. We're talking about the Rechilus aspect here. The Rechilus aspect here is that you're awakening him to the possibility that the Beis Din is wrong.
Sound like a different Issa.
Yeah.
Like
so we don't think that's Rechilus, because Rechilus normally means telling a tale. Yeah. Rechilus means gossiping. Rechilus means telling something to somebody about somebody who did something.
Yeah.
Here, effectively, it's an opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an opinion.
It's causing discord.
So if you call an opinion that's going to cause discord, seems that's what I'm saying. To me, it's a chiddush, but it seems like the Chofetz Chaim is saying that's also called Rechilus.
It's rebellion. It's what's it called?
Starts with Eilat Torahway, Northwest London, Monday, Kof Dalet Cheshvan, 25th of November, Rin HaRav Rav Gedalia Lieberman, Shlita, a brocha on non-kosher food. This week's Torahway was sponsored by Family Stimler, the Poet Simchanasir of Alexander Lewin, Nerior, and Hannah Stimler Shetichia. Custom take place on Wednesday, Mitzah Shemihit Rotson Shimle Baez, Gamon Bishol Eshrim Lissilo, Lizchus HaShvim Vachayalim Bamelchomo Shechzu Levotzeim Lisholem Bimeiro.
Good morning. Start with a question somebody once asked me. A fellow that was taking the journey of slowly becoming closer to Yiddishkeit. So he was keeping nothing. He began to keep different mitzvahs. And at some point he started keeping kashrus, but only in his home. In other words, he was used to going to business meetings and restaurants. And it was too difficult at that stage for him to think of stopping that. So but he decided to kosher his home and to start bringing kosher food into his home. And so he was eating kosher at home, but when he went out, He still ate non-kosher food. And then at a later stage, that was continuing for a while, and it came like a little bit set. And then at some point, somebody was moir him to the mitzvah of making brachas to the Eibishter Bechsenenin, when you eat, before you eat, to make a bracha. And he started doing that. And then he was sitting in the restaurant with a plate of, I don't know what was on there. And he thinks, 1 minute, what should I be doing now? I don't know what people would guess. I was asked the question, the person said, probably this has never been discussed before, but what's the halacha? It's actually a siman in Shulchan Aruch, yeah? Siman Kuf Tzadik Vav, discusses making a bracha non-kosher food. Again, who? Ah, so that's a different question a bit. When it's a sakona, it's a little bit of a different question. Also discussed in Shulchan Aruch, but that's different when you're eating and you're supposed to be eating the non-kosher food, yeah. Right? Anybody who's a choyle needs to eat something which isn't kosher, choyle shesh b'sakona. But that's slightly different. Here I'm discussing when you're not supposed to be eating it. You're doing an avera, and are you supposed to make a bracha? So. Mitzvah Avera, that's right, that's the question over here. So I told him that the person asked, it wasn't directly the person that was eating in the non-kosher restaurant, it went through somebody else, and the person said it's probably not discussed. I told him, well, according to the Rambam, the answer is you wouldn't, according to Ravid, you would, according to the Rosh, you would, according to B'Seis, if you wouldn't, according to Shulchan Aruch, etc., etc. It's a major machlokes sapoiskim, that's what I'd like to share with you, and perhaps branch it off onto some questions that may even be practical for us. Hopefully not, but it begins with there's a Mishnah. I suppose this is the best place to start. There's a Mishnah in the beginning of the seventh Perek of Brachos. Three that eat together have to make a zimun, and then the Mishnah gives a list. First, gives a list of food that have a shaila, dmai, mais rishon shenotel trumah. So different foods that are not 100% perfect. And it says you could still make a zimun on those. And then the Mishnah has a list of foods that you can't make a zimun. Ochel tevel, if you eat tevel, food that trumas and maizos weren't taken. Or maizos rishon, shalonit trumasoi, maizos sheni behekdash, shalonifdu. If you have maizos sheni that you haven't redeemed on the coin, food that you're not allowed to eat. The Mishnah says that eim zamnin alein, you don't make a zimun on them. So then begins, that's the din of the Mishnah, straightforward din. You do not make a zimun on non-kosher food. Then begins a discussion in the Rishonim exactly why. Getting a little bit Rashi and Tosfos, but I'm going to jump to the Rosh. The Rosh says, "Kos of Rina Moshe." The Rambam writes the reason is because Ochel Michael Isser. If you eat non-kosher food, Ein Ravarach and Olav Leibetchilav Leibesayif. That's Shitza Rambam. When you eat non-kosher food, you don't make a bracha Rishoina or a bracha Chreina. In other words, no bracha at all. This fellow's Shaila eating in a non-kosher restaurant. No bracha. According to the Rambam, it's a straightforward din in the Rambam, and he learns it seemingly or bepashtus from this Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you don't make a zimun on non-kosher food, so the Rambam then understands that it's not just zimun, it's all brachas. The reason you don't make a zimun is because you don't make a bracha. That's the Rambam.
Even under compulsion?
At the moment we're not discussing under compulsion. The compulsion is then discussed in later Rishonim and the Beis Yosef. I'll give it a mention because it's obviously where, it shouldn't be relevant that for sakona or reasons like that, for danger when it's permitted, hopefully it'll never be relevant. I'll give it a mention a little later. Comes the Ravid and Kedarkoi, argues the Rambam, and says, Tov is a Tos Godel. The Rambam has made a big mistake. So Le'omru ain Mavarach and Olav, ain Mazamn and Olav. He says, where's your source? Yeah, every din in Shulchan Aruch, every din in Rambam is taken from the Gemara. He says, which Gemara do you have? The Mishnah says, you don't make a Zimun. You can't join for Zimun. Not you don't make a bracha. If it was true about brachas bechlal, then we would have a Mishnah, maybe in case of Mavarchin, or at least a Brisa, or at least a Gemara, that says you don't make a bracha on non-kosher food. Practically, the Mishnah simply says, you don't make a Zimun. And why don't you make a Zimun, says the Ravid? Why is Zimun different? Yeah? So he says, it's like a Chilas Peiros that's missing Kva. I don't want to go be Meirich in Hilcha Zimun, but in short, he says, when you eat non-kosher food, it's not as serious of an achila as kosher food. I mean, it's not even supposed to be eaten. So we look at it like a fruit. And just like the Gemara says, in Mezamnin ala Peiros, that you don't make a Zimun on fruit, only on bread, only on a Suda, only Brich Samozen. So Bameila, non-kosher food isn't kosher enough for Zimun. That's more or less the Shittas arrived. But he says, a brach at chila v'soif, a bracha at the beginning and the end. Why shouldn't you make a bracha? You're having an or, you have to make a bracha. In other words, the Rashba quotes the Ravid and sort of adds, You're doing one Aveira, you have to do another Aveira. You're already eating the non-kosher food. You want to also be nenim and ohilim hazeh, but a bracha, you also want to benefit from this world without a bracha. We all know it's forbidden to eat without a bracha. Just because you're doing one Aveira, why do another Aveira? The Rashba actually applies to the Gemara. The Gemara uses this expression in other places. If you eat garlic and a bad breath, should you eat more garlic to have worse breath? In other words, you've already done one Aveira. Why do another Aveira? According to the Ravid, the simple understanding of the Ravid is that you do make a bracha, Rishoina, and a bracha Chroina, and it's only Zimun that you don't make. The Rosh himself sides with Ravid, says Nirli Kedvarov. Yeah, so now we have Nirli Kedvarov. Why? It's a very interesting the Raya the Rosh brings. If I would quote the Gemara, you'd think it's a Raya to the Rambam. Yeah, again, the Rambam is the one that says that you don't make a bracha, Rishoina or bracha Chroina. The Ravid says you do. Says the Rosh, there's a Gemara in two places, in Baba Kama and in Sanhedrin, that says that if somebody steals a measurement of wheat, you ground it, you turned it into dough, you baked it, and then you take in challah. So at least the Gears of the Ravid is, the Gears of the Rosh is, his bracha isn't a bracha. Hashem doesn't appreciate such a bracha. It's a niyutz. It's like a curse, so to speak. Hashem doesn't like such a bracha. And the Gemara reads a pasuk, b'tzeah berich niyutz Hashem. Pasuk in the thing, it's a little yudu tilim. One b'tzeah berich, one who steals and makes a bracha, niyutz Hashem. That's not a bracha to the Eibishter. Hashem doesn't want you to, if you steal something and make a bracha on it, that's not, you know, it's like salt on a wound, right? I mean, you could understand the Gemara two ways, and in fact, in the Rishonim, the Mechuluk can't understand the Gemara. You can understand the Gemara, so don't make a bracha, because it's in Yutz. But the Rosh says, the Gemara doesn't say don't make a bracha. The Gemara doesn't even say if you make a bracha. The Gemara says, if you stole, and you take challah, you should know that your bracha is a curse. So the implication is, says the Rosh, that there's meant to be a bracha. So you have to know, it's a curse. In other words, appreciate what's happening over here. Some people aren't put off by just the stealing. But if we tell them the bracha is a curse, that really puts them off, yeah? I mean, you have it sometimes. I know that sometimes the settings, if somebody takes somebody else's food, they say, well, I mean, I don't know if I should say this or not, you have before Hilchos Lashon Hora. I don't know if you say Lashon Hora about it's a big group of people if it counts. Sometimes I work in a yeshiva. Sometimes, you know, one bracha thinks another bracha's food is also his. Not has to show him stealing. He's certain the other person wants. Certain. How certain? Let's say 90%, yeah? The pashas is not good enough, yeah? So if you tell them that, you know, it's not so straightforward, it might be stealing, that I don't know if that's going to put them off. You tell them, you know, if you do eat it, but pashas, you can't make a brocha. Okay, no one's going to eat without a brocha. So I can't take it, yeah? So the Gemara says that it's not just theft, it's also niyutz. It's also the brocha's no good. So the Rosh says, you see, you make a brocha. You just have to know that your brocha's not a good brocha, but you see, you make a brocha. So that's the Shitza Rosh. Comes the Beis Yosef, and has quite an arichus, explaining why he's going to side with the Rambam rather than the Rosh and the Ravid. He brings Yerushalmi that he says implies like the Rambam. He brings Tosefta that he says implies like the Rambam that you don't make a bracha. Yeah, he brings a Braisa that could imply like the Rambam. And then he afterwards lines up all the Rishonim that he thinks side with the Rambam. He says the Rashi is mashma a little bit like the Rambam. The Rashi says the reason you don't make a zimun on these things is because it's bracha b'aveira. So the implication is that you can't have a bracha with an aveira. Maybe even like you said, mitzvah b'aveira. Yeah, it's a so. Mele the Beis Yosef. It's interesting that he even uses Rashi as a support, because generally the Beis Yosef goes with an approach that Rashi is a parashan and a paskin. He doesn't usually line up Rashi as one of his shittas to support a psak, but over here it's an exception. Either way, the Beis Yosef paskins that you do not make a bracha at all on non-kosher food, not bracha shen, not bracha krena. In the Sefer Beis Yosef, he explains his psak, and therefore in Simukov Tzadik Vav, Sef Aleph, that's the halacha, that he writes that when you eat non-kosher food, you don't make a bracha shen, or a bracha krena. Okay, so that's what, it would sound relatively simple. What gets a little bit more complicated is comes the Taz, and he doesn't like this psak of the Beis Yosef. It seems the Taz is primarily bothered, just how can you make it? The Taz argues and says, although it looks like the Rambam and the Ravid are arguing, and he's bothered, how can the Ravid even suggest that you actually make a brocha on non-kosher food? What you're doing in Aveira, you take a non-kosher food, and then on that, b'meizid, and then you're going and saying Baruch Atah Hashem, it doesn't fit. So mainly he learns the whole machloikas is b'shoigeg, and b'meizid he suggests that everybody would agree that b'meizid you can't make a bracha, but on the other hand he learns that b'shoigeg is where the machloikas is, and when it comes to shoigeg, he's noted the paskin like the Raivad. And therefore we have that chorov v'taz, that it depends if it's a shoigeg or it's a meizid. It depends on shoigeg meizid. Now, b'pashto, shoigeg can't exist by bracha rishona, right? Because why not? Because if you don't know, then you can't make a bracha. Then whatever. If you don't know, it's not issa, so then you're making your bracha. Straightforward. However, it's relevant for bracha achreina. It's relevant for bracha achreina. If you ate issa b'shoigeg, and if any one of us has eaten issa, probably it was b'shoigeg. You didn't realize, and then realize, hey, this wasn't the right packaging thing. So then the Taz says b'shoigeg, you would make a bracha achreina, and only b'meizid you don't make a bracha achreina and a bracha achreina. The Taz does have a little bit of a problem that he wants to suggest that the whole din of the Raivad is talking about b'shoigeg. Yet the Raivad says you make a bracha achreina. So how can the Raivad even discuss bracha rishayin if it's all about shoigeg? And the Taz explains that the dinim of oinus that people asked over here, if it's out of your control, has the same dinim as shoigeg. And b'meila, that's what the Raivad is talking about. Either way, just to summarize this nekuda, when it comes to oinus, that's a halacha beis in Shulchan Aruch. The beis Yosef does bring a Reini Ruchem that says even if it's out of your control, still you don't make a bracha. Having a ma'isa the Shulchan Aruch paskins not like that. That when you're eating again, because it's you have to, so then one does make a bracha. Back to this shaila of this fellow in the restaurant. The pashtus, it's considered mezit. The room to be done. The pashtus is mezit, and then the pashtus one wouldn't make a bracha. However, since there are shittus and the rishonim, I think there would be room to sort of judge if the person's asking the question, what's the right way forward, as in allow him to keep encouraging him in his Yiddishkeit. There would be room perhaps to judge like that. Probably would anyway be to suggest that, you know, eating a non-kosher food, it's wrong to make the brocha, and that we encourage him to stop eating in the restaurant and move on in his kashrus. I would have thought that's the right way forward.
It's a very large subject. Would you make a brocha if you wore shatnez suit?
If you?
Would you make a shechayana over a shatnez suit?
Right. Correct. That would be the same shaila. The poskim do tie it into general mitzvah of avera. It's a little different because over here, if you don't make a bracha, what does the Raivad say? You're having hanor. You have to make a bracha. Shachyonu is not a chiyuv. Shachyonu, if you don't make a shachyonu, then you haven't done anything, any iser. If you eat without a bracha, then it is an iser. There's an interesting. Maybe I'll take the risk of interjecting with a joke. A joke is always a risk. It could be everybody heard it, but it's Shloshim Yom Kippur for Hanukkah. And I heard that they say, obviously connected to the Shir, but they, you know, today there's a tremendous amount of shefa. Today, in school, the kids come home. This is really the case. I mean, this is not a joke. This is serious. The kids come home every day with packages of sweets and rubbish, all sorts of unhealthy food. But years ago, it used to be. I mean, even I, who was younger than many of the people sitting in front of me, still, it wasn't the same amount of goodies that we got in school. But so one day, the teacher came to. It was even just 30 years ago. I'm not talking about even longer ago. But the teacher came into the class with two donuts, a jam donut and a cream donut. Yeah, two nice-looking donuts, kashmaka donuts, and came into the class of all of us, 20 boys, and he said, "Whoever davens nicely, we'll get a raffle ticket, and then at the end of the class, if you behaved well, then we'll make a raffle, and whoever wins the ticket will be able to have the schus to answer Amen on the teacher's bracha." Yeah, that's the joke. Okay, so okay, yeah, I had to make sure some people didn't hear it, but yeah. So the shaila is: could you make a bracha on this teacher eating the cream donut and the jam donut, which is very unhealthy? And it's not right to eat things that are very unhealthy. There's a mitzvah of Torah and Shmarta Moedim Nafshei Seichem. You're supposed to eat healthy. So can you make a bracha on food which is damaging to you? Since it's also on Issa, one doesn't make a bracha. It's a straightforward dinner Shulchan Aruch, as we've just decided. So what about if your food isn't healthy? What's the din over there? Huh?
If you haven't eaten anything else that day, it's a healthy food.
And what about if you've just finished your lunch and this is just the dessert? Yeah, what about if you have? Yeah, so, okay, so over here, the Das Torah, the Marsham, if I remember right, I didn't check it now, but if I remember right, he quotes the Maram Rottenberg that says that if the doctors have told you not to eat something, in other words, a serious health issue, so then it's also considered a mitzvah issa, the food is forbidden, and you wouldn't actually, and you wouldn't make a bracha. That's the das Torah. But with pashtus, that would only be if it's mamish, like a direct. You're eating it. Maybe somebody who has diabetes and he's really not supposed to eat all of the sugar, and he goes and eats all of the sugar. So that would be, an act of isser that perhaps one. The truth is, there's other gemaras for this discussing birch and enin. In case of varchim, there's a gemara that discusses the shemen. If you drink oil, and the gemara says zuki mazik lei, it damages your body, and therefore, according to most rishonim, one doesn't make a bracha. There, it's not because it's an issa what doesn't make a bracha, it's because it's damaging, so therefore it sort of doesn't deserve a bracha. But the implication a little bit is that the fact that it's damaging itself isn't considered an issa. That's the implication over there. There is on that Gemara, a Magid Taluma, which is the Bnei Sosra, has a beautiful pirush on Shas and some sechtas, and he says, he's bothered by this question. The Gemara says that Shem is Ayes Zuki Mazik Leis, therefore there's no bracha. So every time you eat something, you have to sort of ask the doctors. That's literally how he asks it. Every time you eat something, you ask the doctors, is this good for you or bad for you? If it's bad for you, you're not going to make a bracha. So he says it's positive that that's not the pshat. And he brings some rice, don't remember what they are. It's positive that if immediately when you eat it, it has negative effects right away, so that's something that you wouldn't make a bracha. But then you wouldn't make a bracha. Masha ain kain. However, if it's like, it's not healthy and in the long term it's going to affect you negatively, it has a. So, there, obviously, as we're all familiar, one would make a bracha nevertheless. The thing is, he's discussing with Tzaddik Gemara that doesn't deserve a bracha. On that Gemara, by the way, Shem ben Zayas, the Rambam learns different pshat. It's Zuki Mazik Lei, and therefore you don't make her eights on Shem ben Zayas, you make a shahakal on Shem ben Zayas. So it's mashma, the Rambam is the one that says you generally don't make a bracha. And he's talking about Shema, which is mazik. So a little bit, I'm thinking out a little bit. And, a little bit from this Rambam is mashma very much not like the Rambam Rothenberg. That something is not healthy, as far as dine brachas is concerned, making a bracha on Isser, you would make a bracha. It's just as far as the cheshivas of its bracha miyuchedes, bracha mevoreres, its specific bracha, that you wouldn't make. But as far as deserving a bracha, because b'tei aberek liyat Hashem, you're doing an issa, it's mashma that you would make a bracha. Yeah. Either way, it's certain that on two donuts, even though it's not a good idea to eat one after the other, but many people will be doing this on Hanukkah, and one does make a bracha. I saw it interesting. Again, I'm just now bringing a raya from the Rambam over there by Shem Zayas, that even though the Gemara says Zuki Mazikli, and the understanding seems to be immediately, at least the way the Magid Taluma understands, nevertheless, the Mashmos is one does make a bracha mitzad. In other words, if it was tasty, one would make a bracha. So, and according to the Rambam, even on that one makes a bracha. So perhaps, however, others haven't quoted the Rambam, I'm thinking aloud. The Das Torah quotes this from Rambam Rothenberg that says if it's very unhealthy and it's damaging right away, one doesn't make a bracha. I saw once in one of the Svarim, maybe it was in the Dirshim Shaburo or elsewhere, I don't remember, that a Svar from Rabbi Eliashiv, that he said if somebody is diabetic and he's eating something that he shouldn't be eating, so he thinks a bracha Rishayna he should make, and a bracha Achreina he wouldn't. Because a bracha Rishayna, you make on a tiny bit. So it's difficult to imagine that a tiny bit is necessarily going to do much damage. So Mela, the bracha Rishayna could be on the first little crumb. The first crumb isn't, it's difficult to call that Issa from the Shrat Moed Nef Seichem. If you really want it, you make a bracha, you put a touch on your tongue. That's not going to be, Yeah, a little bit of hanor, a tiny crumb is still hanor. You make a bracha, when you eat a crumb off the table, you still make a bracha. Bracha Rishayna needs a shear. A shear, it's likely that a shear, it's already going to be damaging for him. That's all going with the approach of Das Torah, that if it's unhealthy and it's immediate negative results, then one doesn't make a bracha. I'll finish off with another shaila, very related. This actually once happened to me. I don't know if I should say this. There's a Gemara that says that you're not supposed to be fired to Tov Rabim. You're not supposed to say one's sins publicly. But to make the shit more exciting, I mean, it really once happened to me a number of years ago. It may have happened to other people as well. I was fleishik, and I'd eaten meat, and within 6 hours, before 6 hours later, I bought myself a milky food. That's an ice cream. Exciting, blue hair, and made a shahakol, and at that point, remembered, right after the shahakol and the abedvoroi, remembered, oh, I'm fleishik, I'm meaty. So what do I do? Do I take a lick of the ice cream? Huh? So let me point out, the reason I'm bringing this in is because there's a new twist. Huh? What do people say? Baruch shame, okay. People are saying, say baruch shame.
Do the Dutch mean for the okay?
Oh, how bad is it to eat the... The reason I'm bringing it in, because there's another twist over here. Yeah. Even if I do eat the ice cream, it could be I haven't solved anything. Why? Because it's Issa. If I'm fleishig, and I'm not allowed to eat milky, So it's hard to say. That's like eating the non-healthy food. That's like eating tevel. That's like eating, perhaps, like eating on kosher. And therefore, even if I do take a lick of the ice cream, maybe my bracha remains a bracha of atola because I wasn't supposed to eat it.
The machl itself isn't the machl.
So now we'd have to go into that question. But let me just first of all go into... Right, so what would one do? So the first thing really we have to... Correct, that's going to be the tzadin, if we had longer. But the first question is, how much of an issur is it to eat the ice cream? Making a bracha levatola is machloikus, whether it's a poiskim, whether it's Mr. Rice or Mr. Rabbonon. Shem Shemaim levatola is an Issa the Rice, and when you do it in a derech bracha, when you bench the Eivishter, it's just it's not the right time for the bracha. So that's machloikus, Rishonim and a poiskim. And I think generally it's certainly Shulchan Aruch Rav passing to this, I think the Mishabura does as well, paskins that it's only an Issa the Rabbonon when you make a bracha levatola. What sort of issa is it eating the milchiks when you flesh it? So over here, it's very much depends. You have the Gemara, well, the din of eating milchiks after flesh, it's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says, Marukva says, Ani chol bar chamra, I'm like vinegar, the son of wine. My father would wait 24 hours between meaty and milky. And I wait misuda lasuda, from one meal to the next meal. And that's halacha, like Marukva, you have to wait misuda lasuda. What does it mean, misuda lasuda? So you have the way the Rif learns, the Rambam learns, Rashi learns, the Rosh learns, most Rishonim learn, this is a chiddush because it's most Rishonim, that it means 6 hours. They used to have breakfast at 10 o'clock and supper at, in other words, seemingly, I'm just guessing because it's mashma, there were 6 hours between the meals. I would say, and breakfast they would eat at 10, Sharavias. So 10 to 11 was breakfast, 11 to 5 was between the meals, 5 to 6 was the Suddhas Erev, that's what it would seem. So they had 6 hours between the meals. So Moshe Rabbeinu learned when he says misuda l'suda, it means he would wait 6 hours. Yeah, that's the why to wait 6 hours. That's famous machlokas, whether it's because of the bosh shemini shemayim, the meat stuck in between your teeth, or it's because of the tam shuvan and imshak pepek, the fats that are stuck in your mouth. But that's according to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a chiyuv gomer medina de gemara to wait 6 hours, and it's an isser to eat from meat to milk. However, as many people know, I'm sure, there are more in Siman Tzadik Tes, when he writes the din of he writes the minigas to wait only 1 hour. That's the Ramah, and the way the Nois Kalim explain that the Ramah statement from Sedeshen and from the Rishonim, that Be'etzem the minig Ashkenaz is the Paschal at Tosas. Tosas has a unique shot in the Gemara, not that you have to wait 6 hours, rather it means you can't have it during the same meal at all. You have to finish the meal and bench, and as soon as you bench, you're able to wash again and eat milchiks. That's the shita of Tosfos, that there's no issa to eat milk after meat. The only issa is to have it during the same meal. Yeah, important to point out, even according to the Ramah, you're not allowed to bench in order to have a milky meal, because that wouldn't be considered finishing the meal, because you're still in the middle of the meal. The Ramah himself discusses it. But according to the Ramah, you don't really have to wait. You have to wash your mouth, you have to make sure there's no meat stuck between your teeth, you have to do lots of things, but you don't have to wait. So how come we're Ashkenazim? We usually follow the Ramah. I'm guessing here, many of the people here are Ashkenazim and generally follow the Ramah. How come over here we wait 6 hours? So the Ramah finishes up. The Ramah finishes off that Bamadakim make sure to wait 6 hours, even though Me'ikra did. The Minig Ashkenaz was to wait 1 hour, and the Shach, the Taz, and all the poskim that follow just strengthen this with stronger and stronger lashonas. The lashon shach is kein roi lasis, chol mishish b'riach Torah. The Prima Gordon says kein aminig, kein alocha. That you have to wait 6 hours. The bottom line is wait 6 hours. But truth be told, it's not really me'ikra din. It's more of a minhag, a minhag that one has to follow. In other words, the poiskim a very strong shyness. Beinu for his geder, the lashon of Prima Gordim. A minhag one has to follow, but it doesn't for a Sfaradi, for Pashtus, it's mamish me'ikra din. It's an issa to eat milk after meat. However, for an Ashkenazi, it's not mamish me'ikra din, and that would and therefore two things that would point two reasons in the direction that one should taste a little bit, have a small lick of the ice cream. Aleph because the Isser is a mikra din, and the other taina that I tainad, that it's a broch, that it's not going to help you. So since mikra din, it's not an Isser, so Pashas it will help you. Because mikra din, you're not doing an Isser, so therefore it's Pashas, not a broch of Atona. It's not, you know, this din that when you make a broch on Isser, you're not supposed to make a bracha, and it's a bracha matala. Already the poskim, Rabbi Kiva Eger, discusses, what about milky bread? Everybody knows you're not allowed to have bread made with milk, milky bread. And the Rekveig is mitzadah to say that on milky bread, it's not such a strong isser, and therefore you would make a brach on it if you're going and transgressing this isser. There is another cheshbon over here to throw in, which I'll use the last 2 minutes to throw in this cheshbon. A lot to speak about, but what... somebody mentioned that if you milk after meat isn't an issa be'etzem, it's not an issa on the food, it's just an issa because of the time. And one could be done, therefore, it also wouldn't render the brocha, it would also be a reason to make a brocha, and there's a beautiful raya for this. The Rambam is the one that holds, the Rambam is the one that holds that you don't make a brocha when you're eating issa. Now there's a Rambam that says that people are sitting Friday afternoon and eating a meal, and drinking together, and then they say, boyu nekadesh, let's stop and make Kiddush. So, Osalem Lechel, it's forbidden for them to continue eating or drinking. However, if they do want, because it's already like the Chi of Kiddush is Chal, so you become Shabbos, the Chi of Kiddush is Chal, it's a big sugya, and therefore you're not allowed to eat or drink for Kiddush. If they want to continue drinking, Afar Pish Eden Rashoin, even though they're not allowed to, if they want to nevertheless, then you have to know you also have to make Hagofen. Why? Because you must see a Das. You said, Boyun Kaddish, it's a Hesra Das, and then you have to make another Hagofen. Question is, why are you making a goffin? He just says, they're not allowed to continue drinking. If you're not allowed to, so then it's Isser. And the Rambam is the one who holds on Isser, you don't make a brocha. And nevertheless, he's saying over here that if you want to continue drinking, you do make a brocha. Evidently, not every Isser does, whether you're going to say because it's only an Isser because it's connected to the time, or slightly different Hezbert, an Isser Kal, but clearly you see from this Rambam that not every Isser one doesn't make a bracha. So at least according to the Maskana of this year, which if you have another half an hour, then we can go the other way also, but at least according to the Maskana of this year, there would be a tzad to say to take a lick of the milky ice cream, even when you are meaty, because since it's not Isser Chom, or like the Isser of a bracha of Atola, and there's no Shaila, that the bracha doesn't count, because since again it's not an isser mikra din and it's not an isser on the Michael, so mainly the bracha would be a good bracha.
Okay.
So
that would depend on the dinim, if you had it in mind, if it was in front of you. It goes in dinner, written and edit. Yeah, usually not so much. It wasn't what you're planning, but only if you ate the original peas. Yeah, it's not so simple. If you ate the original peas, then the other things are included. And then you've had it as well. If you didn't eat the original peas, it's much more complicated. The broccoli has to be on both. If you brought the broccoli on all of it, then maybe the Jewish should say that. Yeah. It doesn't always solve the problem.
If you're a 6-hour man, you want to go 6 hours, you don't want to wait 5 hours.
That's right.
So you don't want to be a whole life, you want to be a 6 hours. Mm-hmm. You have a psychological problem. You don't want to.
I agree.
6 hours or 3 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
3 hours. But
I don't think you've changed it.
We never eat before.
Right. I don't think you've changed it by this case where you made the broccoli, you changed it. It's going to happen once in your life. I don't think it's going to change your.
Another way out.
Yeah. You're right. So, there is a verb.